torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
When you attend a funeral, it is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is that Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where with all the politics swirling, potential nominee to the Supreme Court and confirmation prior to the election, who better to bring onto the show than my good pal and friend of an astute political analyst with a background in mathematics from UW-Madison, an expert in polling and all sorts of politics, very actively involved in the past in the Libertarian, today in the Republican Party, Rolf Lindgren. Welcome back to The Raw Deal, my friend.
It's good. It's great to be here, Jim.
I always enjoy our conversation. If you can turn up your volume just a tad, Rolf, that would be good. Where you and I, as you well know, speak numerous times every week, sometimes several times a day, and I always enjoy our conversation. Give us your take on how the election is shaping up and the role that this nomination is going to play here in stirring up the pot on both sides.
Well, I think the passing of Justice Ginsburg is, from a political standpoint, is a game-changer advantage to Trump, because it takes the virus off the front page of the news all the way till Election Day. The Supreme Court vacancy is now going to be the number one story, whether it's this senator is going to do this and that senator is going to do that, or they're going to pick this person, they're going to pick that person, they're going to have the televised hearings, then they have to go through the committee, then they're going to have the full vote of the Senate. All this stuff is going to be covered wall to wall, gavel to gavel, and the virus is going to be second fiddle in the news, and the less news coverage there is about the virus, the better it is for Trump, because people are already getting sick of mask mandates and business, their favorite business being closed. Then if they don't keep hearing about the virus, which is essentially just a way to scare people, then they're going to be sick of these rules, and they're going to end up voting for Trump. Remember that Trump was easily on way for re-election with the economy the way it was. The economy had record low unemployment, and it was going great all the way up until March, and then all this plandemic started. This virus came in, and then, which has clearly been created in a laboratory in China, and it was somehow released just in time so that it could come into the United States just after the impeachment was over, which, of course, was completely bogus and has essentially been forgotten. Although the crazies are out, and now some of the crazies like Nancy Pelosi are suggesting that she may want to do another impeachment. Okay, well, that's another reason why the Supreme Court opening is going to help Trump, because all the crazies are going to be out, and the normal people who are going to vote, they're sick of it, and they're going to vote for Trump, and they're going to vote for Republicans. I think that the House is going to go back to the Republican Party.
That would be a very good thing. I believe the Democrats were only able to take control because of Google intervention in swinging, you know, millions of voters by selective notifications or reminders of voting. They boasted about their ability to do this. We've been warned about it by the editor of Psychology Today, Robert Epstein, reported to Congress that he's been very concerned they're going to go all out in 2020 to defeat Trump, and that they can bring around 15 million votes to the side of the Democrats. I'm convinced, Rolf, that this was what swung the 2018. Things weren't that bad in terms of how Republican prospects were appearing. I'm convinced it was Google intervention, so that the Democrats, you know, are only holding the House because of a form of cheating. And now it seems as though that's their area of specialization, where they want to flood the ballots with mail-in ballots to create enough chaos and consternation that by hook or by crook, the issue is not resolved by 20 January, so they can slip Nancy Pelosi in accordance with the Constitution, which declares if the election has not been resolved, then the Speaker of the House becomes a president pro tem.
Okay, well, that's obviously something to be concerned about. But remember, Trump is on top of this stuff. Trump doesn't sit around and let other people beat him. He doesn't just sit around. He's got the power and the resources and the intelligence to consider all of these possible challenges and to prevail. Now, I'll start with the mail-in ballots. The mail-in ballots are obviously a problem. Each state, it's hard to keep up with each state. I'm here in Wisconsin, and we have a judge, apparently, I think it was a federal judge, just ruled that even though the state law says you have to receive ballots by election day, now all of a sudden this judge says you can receive them 6 days after the election. Okay, of course, this ruling has been stayed, and it's going to be appealed. And it's eventually, this is probably not going to be there. This ruling is probably going to be thrown out. Just remember that the Republicans control the Supreme Court. The Republicans control the Supreme Court in Wisconsin as well. And I couldn't tell you which states are controlled by what party in the key states. But I do know that the Supreme Court is Republican, and I also know that the appeals courts are increasingly more conservative. There's over 50 appointments have been made by Trump just to the appellate courts, and about 150 some in the district courts. So the courts aren't as bad as they used to be. And all we're asking for is the judges to rule on the law. Well, the law in Wisconsin, we don't have any problems with elections in Wisconsin. We don't have any problems at all. If you have a recount, you just do a recount. You count the ballots a second time. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to throw this in and say we can take ballots after the election. I doubt if it's going to hold up. Trump is going to be all over it. So I'm not worried about mail-in ballots. If there is mail-in ballots in a particular state somewhere, Trump is going to do mail-in ballots too then. He's not just going to sit around and let Democrats do mail-in ballots. He's going to get his people out and get his people to mail-in ballots as well. Remember that the Republican Party is doing door-to-door canvassing all over the country, and the Democrats are not. The Democrats are doing this fake, whatever you call it, they're afraid of the virus. They call it virtue signaling. So they're not going to do any door-to-door canvassing in the United States. And door-to-door canvassing is very helpful if you have mail-in balloting because you can.
Rolf, did we lose you? Presumably, we'll get Rolf back. Ostensibly, the reason for giving an additional period of time for the ballots to arrive is that the post office delivery has been held up because of the coronavirus, and therefore they have to give extra time. But it still remains the case that the ballots, in order to be countable, have to have a postmark no later than the day of the election, which is probably, you know, inadvisable as it stands.
I'm back.
Yeah, good, Rolf. I was just explaining. Yeah. The pseudo-justification for the extension on the receiving ballots being that the postal delivery has been delayed because of the coronavirus and that, you know, they want, but about ballots to be counted still have to be postmarked by the day of the election.
Yeah, so it isn't quite as bad as you think because they do have to be postmarked, but under state law in Wisconsin, I don't have these dates exact, but I think you're supposed to have it in by the 14th of October. So the judge lengthened that to the 21st of October, you know, or something like that. I don't know exactly what they did, but they're monkeying with the election. But just remember this: if the ballots have to be postmarked by election day, or maybe by the date that the judge says in the order, which is a couple of weeks before election day. So I don't have all those details in front of me. None of this is going to make a difference unless it's a very, very close election. If someone's ahead by 10,000 votes, this isn't going to make any difference. Okay? And 10,000 votes is already pretty close. Wisconsin was about 23 or 29,000 or something like that last time. I think Michigan was 17,000. Florida was over 100,000, 140,000 or something like that. So just remember, I don't think any of this stuff will make any difference at all unless you're down to less than 5,000 votes or something like that. Then it might make a difference. But it's not going to make a difference. I think that Trump is going to pull away and win these states by more than he did last time. There's no reason why he can't win the election by more than he did last time. There's a lot of reasons to believe that he's going to do better than last time. And one of the reasons is his approval rating is sitting at about 45%. If you look at the Real Clear Politics approval rating, he was up to 47% earlier in the year. Then he dropped down to about 43% because of the virus. Now he's back. Now he's back to about 45 last I checked. So,
but of course, on the daily approval rating, you know, he's up to as high as 52.
He's about 44.9 right now. 44.9. So.
Tell us what that means in terms of
what that means is that he's a lot higher than he was on election day in the last election. The last election he was at about 38% on election day.
Wow.
And I was at 45%. He's way better than he was last time. Remember the last election, he was an unproven commodity. Okay, a lot of people thought he was just a TV reality star who was doing this for publicity. They thought he was going to start World War III. They thought he was going to crash the stock market. They thought it was just a joke. They thought he was a closet Democrat who was pretending to be a Republican, stuff like that. Well, then he's proven that he cares about America. He's proven he certainly isn't a joke. I mean, he's getting Supreme Court justices filled. He's cutting taxes. He's getting, you know, deregulating. He's getting peace treaties done all over the place. So he has far more credibility than he did last time. And actually, the biggest thing of all that probably caused people not to vote for Trump last time is people thought he wasn't going to win the election. Okay, that's the biggest. That's how third parties lose a lot of votes, because everybody knows they're not going to win the election, so people don't bother to vote for him because it's a waste of time. Okay, a lot of people didn't think Trump was going to lose. They thought Trump was going to lose last time, so they didn't even bother to vote. Okay, there's got to be millions and millions of people who didn't vote last time. You know, there could be 20 million people at least who didn't vote in the last election because they thought Trump was going to lose. Okay, those people aren't going to believe that this time. In the poll, they have polls that say Biden's ahead. People don't believe those polls anymore. You see, that's why they do these polls, though, these fake polls that say Biden's way ahead. They do that on purpose because they want to scare people into thinking Trump's going to lose, and they want you to think you're wasting your time. Don't send him any money. Don't vote for him. He's going to lose. That's what they want you to think. It's not going to happen. So there's a lot, and Trump is on top of this stuff. And I also want to address your statement about Google. Okay, Google has some influence on the election, but I don't think that Google has as much influence as people think. How is Google going to influence the election? If you do a Google search, your stuff is going to come up. Okay. I don't know how much Google searching really affects people's voting. I don't think it's going to have that much of an effect.
Rob, what Robert Epstein was explaining is they know so much about the population. They know how people are going to vote, and they send out selective vote reminders to get out the vote for the party they favor, so that they make, you know, if this happened in South Carolina, remember, Joe Biden had never won a caucus or a primary in 35 years of campaigning for president until South Carolina. And all of a sudden, he got this bonanza. Well, the explanation was Google was sending out selective vote reminders to a very large percentage of the voting population in South Carolina, and they responded. That's how they're doing it, Rolf.
Google was already doing this in the 2016 election, and Trump won. And like I said, Trump has plenty of information to figure out who his voters are. I know that Google has more information, but there's so much information available. Trump can figure out who his voters are and contact them and get them to vote. Yeah, Google is a little bit has an advantage, a little bit, but how big? Trump has plenty of money and plenty of databases to figure out who to contact. I don't think that's big of an advantage.
You mentioned you mentioned, of course, the surging economy and the soaring stock market as his strongest attributes heading into re-election. Now that the Democrats have succeeded through the coronavirus scandal and lockdown and destroying the economy, I mean, who would anyone in the world think would be better to rebuild it than the guy who brought us that amazing economy of the past, Rob? How could the Democrats possibly think that the public would turn to Joe Biden, who's never accomplished anything of merit in his entire life?
Well, they don't. People do think Trump is better on the economy. And you were talking about the South Carolina primary. Okay, yeah. Well, if the people against Trump really wanted to win the election, why did Joe Biden win anyway then? Why didn't they can't find a single person who's competent, a single Democrat who's competent, who can beat Trump besides Joe Biden?
Well, it appears.
I mean, Joe Biden was very lackluster for most of the primary season. And he won. The reason why he won South Carolina is because Joe Biden is the only Democrat who was the only Democrat running who minority voters knew who he was and trusted and voted for him. Because, and remember, South Carolina is the highest state for percentage for black voters for Democrats in the country. Joe Biden was next to Obama for 8 years, so they voted for Biden. I guess the perplexing question is, there wasn't a single other Democrat candidate that could gain the trust of black voters in the Democratic Party all through the campaign, the primary campaign season. I guess none of them did. Kamala Harris certainly didn't get their votes. Cory Booker couldn't get their votes. Elizabeth Warren couldn't get their votes. Amy Klobuchar couldn't get their votes. Michael Bloomberg, who spent $1 billion, couldn't get their votes. So no one got their votes. So by default, they voted for Joe Biden. So that's why Joe Biden got the nomination, because of that. None of their candidates. I guess the root of the problem is what have any of these Democratic candidates ever done for minorities? What have they done?
Yes.
Nothing.
And one of the
they haven't done anything. What has Cory Booker done for minorities? What has Kamala Harris done for minorities? What has Elizabeth Warren and Michael Bloomberg? Michael Bloomberg, all of a sudden, he's running for president and he wants minorities to vote for him. Well, why wasn't he doing something 10 years ago for minorities? He's got enough money to do something for him. Why is he starting now? Why didn't he start 5 or 10 years ago? Nobody believes these people. They understood he's just a rich guy that's trying to buy the election. Okay, so by default, Joe Biden won. He was the default candidate if all the other candidates failed. That's essentially what happened.
And he's such an awful candidate, Rolf. I mean, on virtually every count, he's disqualified. He's unfit in relation to Burisma and Ukrainian scandal, where he threatened to withhold $1 billion in foreign aid if they didn't fire the prosecutor who was looking into Burisma. He has his tendency to be all handsy with children. He leaned down to Chris Coons' daughter after his confirmation in the Oval Office and said to her, "Do you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 13-year-old girl?" I mean, he has an awful record, Rolf. Awful record.
No, okay, well, from a Democratic perspective, you have to remember that they probably have barely ever even heard of Burisma. If they have heard of it, they probably figure it's just something that Republicans talk about. As far as the groping and stuff, they'll just say, "Well, Trump does the same thing." That's how they look at it. As far as being a good or bad candidate, Joe Biden does have some advantages as a candidate. He's a likable guy. He's a pretty tall, decent looking guy. You know, he's getting pretty old now, but those are his advantages. His disadvantages, of course, is I think his biggest one is that he's just getting too old now. Whether people will vote for him or not, I think he's going to lose some critical votes because he's clearly declining in health compared to what he was just a few years ago. So he isn't a very good candidate. He has run for president before and got 1%. But like I said, none of the other Democrat candidates panned out. There wasn't a single other Democrat. And remember this, Democrat candidates tend to be creations of the news media. They're not Trump isn't a creation of the news media. Trump is a person who fought against the news media and prevailed, you might say. In the Democrat primaries, you have to get the news media to promote your campaign. Otherwise, you have no chance. Okay. Now, remember that's a necessary but not
sufficient.
It takes more than just that. Just because the media promotes your campaign doesn't mean you're going to automatically win. You still have to get voters. Kamala Harris had the news media promoting her. I mean, she was the favorite at the beginning of last year. How did she do? Well, she was at maybe she had one debate where she got a bunch of coverage. And what did she do in that debate, by the way? Oh, she attacked Joe Biden. Okay. But then she's not Kamala Harris she failed, right? First of all, she's not likable. She has no record of doing anything. So she's just being promoted because she's a multiracial woman, essentially. Okay. She's a competent person. She's a senator. She was the attorney general. But she has no accomplishments at all.
I agree completely. And I think the Democrats burned their own bridges when they supported all the looting and rioting and then did nothing to denounce it during the Democratic convention. 4 days, 2 hours each day, not a word about urban violence. The whole nation noticed that, Rolf.
Yeah, well, that was done to promote, this is how cynical and essentially racist the Democrat Party and the media is. Those riots were promoted by the media for one reason and one reason only, to get the minority vote turnout up. Because a lot of people know that Hillary Clinton lost the last election because minority turnout was very weak compared to 2012 when Obama was running. And in big cities, there's a lot of minorities, and they didn't turn out for Clinton.
Rolf, hold that thought. We'll come back to it after this break. We're right there. We'll be right back with my special guest, Rolf Lundgren, talking about politics, the race, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Supreme Court, a whole lot of very important and fascinating issues. We'll be right back.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies. Champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest today, Rolf Lindgren. Rolf, you were making the point that the purpose, the motivation for all the rioting and looting was to gain minority voters, but you know, it's massively backfired. This has to be the stupidest game plan in history, because they were actually attacking a lot of stores that, you know, poor people or relatively poor small businesses represented, in many cases, minorities who suffered. The whole idea of defunding the police or abolishing the police leaves the poor people, the minorities, in the worst and most vulnerable position. They did, you know, polling in Harlem, and were asking black residents there what they thought about defunding or abolishing the police. And they were saying it would be suicide, meaning it would be suicide for them. How could the Democrats have been this stupid? This is colossal stupidity.
Okay, well, one thing, though, it's true is that all these riots and protests and whatever's in between is going to help the turnout for minorities, okay? So that's true. And the question is how much of this can people take before other people get sick of it, whether it's people who are sick of people who are laughing, you know, laughing their butts off out in the country, people in the suburbs who are afraid, or people who live downtown who got their businesses trashed and maybe they want to vote Republican. See, Trump is making an aggressive play for the minority votes. So, in fact, the Hispanic vote in some places, they say, is over 50% Trump. So whether that's really true or not, I'm not sure. But he did get 30% last time. And, you know, if he can get 35% this time or even 40, that would be a big deal. I think that the rioting did go on too long. Whoever was promoting the riots on TV, you know, they have ways of monitoring what people think about it, and I think they let it go on too long. I guess we'll see when the voting occurs, but I think that you're right. I think that it is backfiring, but it's an example of Trump fighting against. I mean, why are people on TV promoting riots anyway? I mean, think about it. It's crazy, and why do they call everything largely peaceful? Everything is largely peaceful. Ever noticed that? And have you ever noticed that nobody talks about spreading viruses at the protests, but whenever Trump has a rally, then somehow that's a big spreader of the virus? I don't think people are that stupid. So, you know, the media uses their old. What the media tends to do is use their systems for winning elections. And they keep using it until it doesn't work anymore. So we may be at the end of the road for some of these media techniques. Trump already stifled the media in the last election. Just remember, you have to remember that Trump already has been up against this stuff in the last election. And now they're throwing even more stuff at him. But the stuff that they're throwing at Trump now, is this stuff really going to work? Outside of the virus, nothing has really affected Trump at all. And even the virus, how much is that affecting? Well, the economy would have been a lot better without the virus. The question is, are people going to blame Trump for the shutdowns, or are they going to blame the Democratic governors? You see? So it's very complicated. I think that Trump has the upper hand right now. I think that he's put everything into place. He's like the military commander, like Julius Caesar or Napoleon. They get everything set up before the battle in just the right position. He's got the right people over here, the right people over there. This hill is covered. There's a swamp over there. Everything is set up, and then when the battle starts, they win. I think that's what Trump is doing right now. Trump is setting everything up so when the battle starts, which we're kind of into the battle, that you're going to see Trump pull away and win the election at the end of October. That's what I think is going to happen. I think the biggest moves that he made recently is the executive orders on the coronavirus. Okay, he extended all this unemployment. He did stuff that some people may not like, using executive orders to do things that you would think would be done by the legislature. However, he's basing all this on precedents that have already been done and accepted. You see? So if someone wants to fix the system, maybe we can talk about it after the election, but now isn't the time to talk about it. Trump isn't, if Trump has the power to do something, he's going to do it. And people do need help. There are people out there who need help because of the virus shutdowns. And they're certainly not getting the help from Nancy Pelosi, who has a bill. She purposely proposes bills that she knows won't get the votes on purpose, and then she blames Republicans for it. That's what she does. She doesn't care about these people, these small businesses. She doesn't care. She's just using it as a political thing. And Trump outsmarted her with those executive orders, which included things like eviction protection, student loan relief, and the biggest was extending unemployment. I forget all the exact provisions now. It's been a while. There's so many things going on. But that virus bill is not being covered in the news very often. How often have you even heard about the coronavirus bill in the news since Trump's executive orders? You haven't really heard much about it. I remember when he signed those executive orders, it was the biggest news in the whole country, and then all of a sudden it sort of disappeared. Like the next day, remember that you told me this yourself, the Wisconsin State Journal didn't even mention it on the front page, did it? Remember
right.
that?
Right. It was buried.
Was it even mentioned in the paper?
Page 7 or
yeah. And the same I was in the store, and I was looking at some of the newspapers, and I was looking, and I looked at the New York Times, and I didn't see anything about it on the New York Times cover. And the other paper was the U.S., maybe it wasn't the USA Today, but it was another newspaper, the Milwaukee Journal, I believe. They didn't have it on the front. You know, how is it that wasn't on the front page, those executive orders? Think about it. That's how strong the conspiracy against Trump is. That they purposely moved it off the front page, but it was on the radio. It was being cranked out on the radio, I think because the word wasn't out yet to this radio station that, no, this isn't something you want to talk about. This is something that helps Trump, so don't talk about it. Because those executive orders helped Trump. Well, now that since those executive orders, I have not seen a lot of news about the coronavirus bill. I have heard a little bit about it. I heard it. But the bill itself is wanted by the moderate Democrats. There's a group of moderate Democrats in the House who want Nancy Pelosi to get the bill through because they have constituents that need the relief because they're being so harmed by the coronavirus lockdowns. This is an opening for Trump and the GOP to win back the House, because who are the moderate Democrats? A lot of them are first-term Democrats who are very vulnerable. They're in districts that Trump won. There's about 33 Democrats in districts that Trump won in 2016. Some of the moderates are old-timers, like Ron Kind in Wisconsin in the 3rd District. He's one of these guys who's been in there for years and has done nothing, and there's a good chance he's going to be thrown out of office. But this coronavirus bill is just another example of how Trump is outmaneuvering the Democrats and getting the pieces of the puzzles into the positions, and then he gets a break, and there's an opening, another opening on the Supreme Court, and that's a break. It's Julius Caesar called a break like that fortune. When fortune comes, you have to take advantage of it. It's the same thing as a football player. If you're a quarterback and there's a fumble and you get the ball, you got to go back in and get another touchdown. You can't just say, "Oh, I was lucky we got the fumble. I'll take it easy on the other team." No, you got to go in there and take that football and go right back into the end zone. That's what Trump is. Trump plays for victory. He doesn't sit around and twiddle his thumbs. When he has an advantage, he's going to take it. He's going to use the power he has to fill that Supreme Court seat. Now, you mentioned earlier in this conversation about the 2018 elections, which were very disappointing. I agree with that. Now, but you have to remember one thing. Trump is much more popular than the Republican Party. Okay, you have to remember there's a lot of people who like Trump, but they're not members of the Republican Party. Okay, the problem that the Republicans have had in the 2018 elections is Trump wasn't running in 2018. That's the problem they had. This election, that he is running. So I'm expecting the candidates in Trump states to win because they have Trump to hold them up. And Republicans are moving more and more into Trump's direction. We know that there's Bush Republicans who don't like Trump. There's Mitt Romney Republicans who don't like Trump. There's McCain Republicans who don't like Trump. But more and more people are becoming Trump Republicans. There's also some libertarians are like to criticize Trump. Why do they criticize Trump? Trump says things that aren't libertarian. He says a lot more things that aren't libertarian than actually does things that aren't libertarian. But Trump is more libertarian than any other president we've had, probably since Calvin Coolidge. You know, he's making peace treaties, he's cutting taxes, he's cutting regulations, and he did criminal justice reform. So that's more libertarian than any other president I've seen. Maybe JFK did the same thing, but he wasn't in long enough to really do as much. He got killed. So some people think that Calvin Coolidge was our last libertarian president. Well, he was pretty libertarian, but Calvin Coolidge had an easy presidency. Calvin Coolidge was the last president who had an easy presidency. He just was the president, and things happened. 4 years of good economics, and then he retired. He had an easy president. It's easy to be a libertarian president if everything is easy. It's not so easy for Trump. With all the things that are going on with the Mueller probe and the impeachment and the virus and the riots and being accused of being a racist constantly, you know, that it's not so easy to be pro-liberty. So as far as I'm concerned, Trump is more libertarian than Calvin Coolidge because he had more resistance against it.
Well, I'll tell you, Rolf, it's very peculiar for me because historically I've tended to vote Democratic. I would identify myself still as a JFK or FDR kind of Democrat, but the party has wandered far away into the wilderness as extreme progressive stuff. My views haven't so much changed as the party has changed, and I feel far more comfortable with Trump than I do with the Democratic Party today, which I despise. I mean, these are just disgusting people. They're liars, phonies, cheaters. They're worthless. They are despicable. And that goes from Hillary Clinton up and down the line, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the squad. I mean, it's just a disgusting group. And the fact that they've let this guy, Tom Perez, run the party and George Soros finance it and even pick the vice presidential candidate is to me utterly repulsive. I mean,
the Democrat Party today has zero interest in civil liberties, zero interest in peace treaties and ending wars. Remember when we had Dennis Kucinich back in the day? He was at least for... Now, he wasn't good on economics, but he was good on civil liberties and anti-war positions. And what did they do? They run him out of the party. They gerrymandered his district so that he got beat. He's been out of Congress for, heck, it's been at least 10 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You have AOC. She's this new ultra-liberal. She's not anything like Dennis Kucinich. You ever heard AOC? Does she talk about peace treaties and stuff. She doesn't care about peace treaties. She doesn't care. Does she care if troops are brought home from anywhere? She doesn't care. The Patriot Act, does AOC care about the Patriot Act? Trump ended the Patriot Act. Most of the provisions of the Patriot Act died in March of this year. How many people even know about that?
Rolf, as I sit here speaking to you from my computer, I'm looking at a very large photograph. It's like 10 by 12 of me in an audience in Duluth looking up at Dennis Kucinich, who came up and walked into the audience there, taken by a local radio show host who used to feature me intermittently. I was a huge fan of Dennis Kucinich. I regarded him as the smartest member of Congress at the time. And the Democrats just didn't seem to give a damn about him. I mean, that's just insulting beyond belief.
Well, we had one Democrat that was good running last year named Tulsi Gabbard.
Yes.
Okay. Now, she's from Hawaii, so you have to understand that she's going to be constrained by public opinion of voters in Hawaii. But she's actually for civil liberties and anti-war.
I was a huge fan of Tulsi Gabbard.
She's for criminal justice reform. She's the only one. And what did she get? She got nothing at all. She got no respect. She got 1% of the vote. She was able to somehow get two delegates, I think from Guam.
From Guam,
of all
yeah,
places.
Yeah, from Guam.
But otherwise, she got little respect, few votes, and she probably got even less respect than Dennis Kucinich. I mean, seriously. You know, I don't know what she's doing. She's not run. She decided not to run for a re-election. Well, I can see why that is. Hopefully, she'll move out of Hawaii, move somewhere else.
Well, she'll move over to the Republican Party. She'd be a sensation. She'd be warmly received. She'd be celebrated.
As long as her positions on economics are modified a little bit, but it depends where she lives. You know, where she actually lives and what, because she obviously. That's the problem with electoral politics, of course, is that if you live in an area, you have to have positions of the voters in general. Otherwise, you'll never win the election. You can't just tell the voters what their positions are going to be. Unfortunately, you have to come to the voters and kind of take their positions to some extent. So as far as economics. Frankly, I never really heard Tulsi Gabbard talk about economics. Okay, so I doubt if she's entrenched into left wing economic theories. I think where she is entrenched is she's in favor of civil liberties and she's against these wars. And of course, she was afraid to say anything nice about Trump because if you say anything nice about Trump and you're a Democrat, you're going to be immediately attacked. You apparently, if you're a Democrat, you can't even say, "Hey, that's a great thing that Trump made a peace treaty with Israel, the UAE, and Bahrain," or I think he made one over in the Balkans with Slovenia and Croatia or something like that. He just made another one over there. He's also had peace. He's made peace with North Korea, and there's been good progress with North and South Korea. They got rid of the zone in between. They got rid of, they're getting out, they're trying to get rid of the landmines. They turned off the music. They got rid of the armed guards. They got some trains running back and forth. You know, that's a good thing.
And he's been nominated for Nobel Prize that he actually deserves. Unlike
Obama.
He
deserves a Nobel Prize more than
anybody.
He's the first person to make a Middle East peace treaty since at least Jimmy Carter, I think. I mean, it's really long. Maybe it was Reagan or something. I don't know.
It's
been a really long time. Really long time. And like I said, the big one is the Patriot Act. I remember all the people yelling about the Patriot. Remember Michael Moore yelling about the Patriot Act? Well, where's Michael Moore on the Patriot Act now? The provisions, all those provisions that had to be extended every few years, all died in March.
That's
Trump told McConnell, "Don't bother to vote on next. I'm not interested in that anymore." So McConnell didn't bring it to a vote. Periodically, someone tries to revive it, but these deep state people who have been pushing that, they lost. And then they said, "Where's Justin Amash on the Patriot Act?" Oh, because he hates Trump, so he can't talk about it. Even the Libertarian Party isn't very good on it either. Where's the Libertarian Party on this? They apparently, because someone else did it, they don't want to talk about it.
Rolf,
Rand Paul is the only one who talks about it.
I was so enthusiastic about Tulsi and felt she was so miscast in the Democratic Party. I was promoting her as a running mate for Trump, as a replacement for Pence. Tulsi would have done Trump much more good than Mike Pence.
Well, the evangelicals probably wouldn't vote for her, but she had to prove herself. She'd have to prove herself somehow before that would even be remotely possible. But President Trump has a long list of accomplishments between cutting taxes, reform of prison, criminal justice, and peace treaties. But now he's going to get one more accomplishment. It looks like he's going to be able to get a third Supreme Court justice confirmed very shortly before the election. That's another reason why this is a big advantage for Trump, because Trump is going to energize the base, energize Republicans. There's going to be an electricity, and Democrats are going to be, frankly, they're going to be demoralized, because if they vote for Biden, that's not going to affect the Supreme Court pick. If they confirm this pick before the election, voters, a lot of Democrats are going to say, why should I bother to vote? They already confirmed the person.
Get this, an email that I just got here while we've been on the air. Joy Behar, co-host of The View, said Tuesday that Democrats have lost the fight for the Supreme Court. She's already conceded we've lost that battle, and she's just about as extreme an anti-Trumper as anyone on television today. She's acknowledging
Trump has the votes. We got the votes to get that person confirmed.
Rolf, I'm going to mention to everyone out there that you're glad to stick around and take their calls. Let me remind everyone who'd like to call in and address a question to Rolf or to me, the number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will take your call. I repeat, 540-352-4452. I'm just delighted with the timing of having Rolf here now in the thick of it all, and especially with the Supreme Court nomination process taking place. Absolutely a fascinating time in American politics, where it appears that Trump is going to be victorious and that he's going to win a landslide re-election. And the Democrats, frankly, they don't seem to have any idea what happened. They don't seem to realize how massively they threw away, they squandered any possible benefit they might have had. This is, frankly, the dumbest campaign I've ever seen a major party in the United States run in my lifetime, Rolf. Just the dumbest.
Okay, well, you have to remember, though, that the main strategy, there's an article on 538 today, and I'll just read the title. Experts think the economy would be stronger if COVID-19 lockdowns had been more aggressive. that sums up the whole strategy right there. First of all, who are experts? Who's an expert?
Hold that thought, my friend. We're into the break. We'll be right back. Call Mitchell. He'll handle your call. 540-352-4452 with Rolf Lindgren. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions to the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com. Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Hey guys, Scorpio here. Join me every Saturday at 2 p.m. here on Studio A for the Scorpio Conspiracy Show, where we discuss the hidden agendas that impact our lives and uncover the secret societies and the shadowy elite who construct the reality that we are supposed to believe. So be there Saturdays, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, here on Studio A on Revolution Radio, and learn what's really going down.
Lost a little honey on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to see that our first scholar is Giuseppe Vaffanciullo from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, lay on, my friend.
Hey, I was listening to that break. That show sounds kind of good. Maybe I'll have to give it a listen.
The perfect triangle, three equal sides in a
bipolar
world.
Exactly. Yeah. It's great to hear Rolf on. He's always has quite a few insightful comments to add to the discussion. I'm curious. I'm ask Rolf, what was his take on the whole Kenosha debacle? And as a person living in Wisconsin, what did he make of the school marm, cowardly Tony Evers actions?
I think that Tony Evers blew it. I think that they let it go on too long. Remember, he refused federal assistance. You know, he essentially promoted it by, or some people promoted it by essentially saying, oh, they have some, you know, and like I said, the guy who was shot, you shouldn't shoot people in the back, okay? You shouldn't shoot people in the back seven times. I get that. But this guy was not a hero, and a lot of people are just sick of hearing about this stuff. The protesters have no solutions to the problems. They have no right to beat people up. They have no right to destroy property. So this isn't a factor in the election in Wisconsin. I think Trump's going to win Wisconsin. He won Wisconsin last time, and I don't think Tony Evers will ever get reelected. And did you know that Tony Evers just extended the mask ban in Wisconsin until November 21st?
It's so stupid, Rolf. I'm so insulted by his doing that.
The law in Wisconsin says that they can do a 60-day emergency, and then after that the legislature has to vote to approve the emergency. Well, we're already over 60 days. This thing started on July 1st. The first emergency order was declared unconstitutional by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now he just does another one for the same thing. That's been over 60 days. The state legislature needs to get off their butts and do something.
Yeah, that's pathetic, Rolf. That's really pathetic. I actually voted for the guy. I'll be damned if I would vote for him again.
Oh, you voted for Evers?
I did. But I consider that to have been a wasted vote. I mean, terrible.
Yeah, it was more than a wasted vote, but they blew it. They blew it in Kenosha. That, like I said, people in the suburbs don't want this. People who live downtown don't want it, and people in the rural area. The people just went out of control for too long, essentially, and they should have moved in. You know, maybe give them one day to vent, but they should have moved in right away. Trump offered to help, but apparently they don't want to be wild because they hate Trump so much that they don't want to accept his help. That's really the simplest way to look at it, right? You know, and there's problems all over the country in a lot of cities. You know, look at all these shootings there are in Chicago. You know, it's unbelievable how many people get shot there. So the federal government can catch these criminals. There's ways to catch these violent criminals who, you know, are shooting guns at people. You can catch these people. If someone's after these people, they can be caught. There's lots of modern technology, and they can get caught. Now, I also have the 17-year-old kid. What's his name? Rittenhouse?
Yeah.
He's never. That case will go against him will go absolutely nowhere because it was clearly self-defense. As far as the policeman in the Blake case, the policeman who shot him in the back is going to be prosecuted for something. I don't know what it's going to be. He deserves to be prosecuted for something, in my opinion. The other cops didn't do anything. And then if you go back to the George Floyd case in Minnesota, it's the same thing. The other three cops who were just there, they're never going to get their cases will go absolutely nowhere. And if it's true that his autopsy said he died from a drug overdose from fentanyl, it's going to be hard to prove that he's the, the cop is guilty of murder. It's going to be hard to prove. Now, they could charge him with attempted murder, I suppose, but he'll probably be convicted of something. But the other three cops, by the way, one who was an Asian and one was a black, you know, they weren't all white cops. And one of the cops was a brand new cop. He was only been working for a few days. And he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's for sure.
Giuseppe, for your further thoughts, I want to invite Mitchell, by the way, to add his observations as well. Giuseppe, go ahead.
I think Rolf hit it on the head, and I would only add that it's insane the slave training that's going on in all the Democratic states ruled by Democratic governors. Like Evers is even such a cowardly oppressor that he's making children wear masks at home to do telelearning, you know, remote learning for school, which is so obscene. And the whole point of these masks, as we've all covered ad nauseum, is they're a complete farce. They don't make any difference. This is all a scam by the vaccine criminal syndicate mafia to try and create a giant profitable marketplace of mandatory vaccinations. Anyone who wears a mask is just an obedient, subservient fool and a tool.
Okay, I don't know. I'm sort of with you. I think that if you work like at a hospital, you're probably going to want to wear a mask. Or if you work in a nursing home, you probably wouldn't want to wear a mask. But as far as everyone else, unless you have some high risk issues and you need to go out, let's say you're 95 years old and you have to go out to the store, you know, maybe wear a mask. But most people probably don't really need to. I agree. Most people probably don't need to wear one. I think it's a lot of fear. As far as the vaccines, you know, President Trump has clearly stated he does not support mandatory vaccines. Of course, the people who don't like Trump are hoping he won't be the president next year, and then they could do that. As far as vaccines, it's probably the same as the masks. If you work in a hospital, you're probably going to be required to take the vaccine. If you work at a nursing home, you probably will be required to take the vaccine, but other people won't be required. That's probably what's going to happen. So
let me ask if Mitchell has any thoughts he'd like to contribute. Mitchell, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, I'm here, Jim. Wow. Forced vaccination for a disease that has such a low mortality rate that they'll be able to lock us down because there's too many people dying in traffic accidents. It's just ridiculous.
It is.
As I said the other day, you know, it's a worldwide color revolution, you know, under this guise of a pandemic.
Yes.
But, you know, now we see, you know, Democrats wanting to get full control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency so they can effectively use lawfare and judicial gerrymandering to, you know, take over the United States. It's either that or are they going to push a violent protest in the fall? So it's going to be hell to pay either way.
It's pretty bizarre that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, sometimes referred to as occasional Cortex, is suggesting that voting for Joe Biden, it's not about whether you like him or not. It's a vote to let democracy live another day, said the socialist Bronx congresswoman who's been famously tepid in her backing of Biden. No president is the answer. You are the answer. Mass movements are the answer, she said. That's pretty odd. We got Scorpio here. I'm delighted to have you here, Scorpio. Long time no here. Go join the conversation.
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on. I had a question for Rolf. You know, it seems like they're really setting up this election to be a massive problem here. And I think the only way the Democrats can win is if they cheat. That's why they're pushing for this mail-in voting. What are your thoughts on, you know, what will happen if President Trump is reelected and the Democrat strategy to cheat their way to victory?
Okay, I just don't think that Trump is going to let them cheat their way to victory. Like I said, Trump isn't a pushover. He's got the power and resources and intelligence to resist. You know, if I ran for Congress, or, you know, the powers that be, you know, there's people who get beat in when they run. I just don't think Trump is going to let the cheating get away. The strategy as far as mail-in ballots for Trump is to restrict mail-in balloting to the smallest number of states, and then the few states that do have it, he's gonna do mail-in balloting too. He's gonna have his people in there getting people to mail their ballots in. He's gonna do the same thing the Democrats do. He's gonna get people to vote mail-in too. In fact, he said it in his rallies. You probably heard him say it. He says, "Mail your ballot in, and then go to the polls to make sure they counted it." He said that in rallies.
I've heard that.
Targeting North Carolina.
What do you think about the Democrat strategy to essentially declare the election invalid, and Trump cheated, or Putin helped him win, or something like that, and then they have massive riots and refuse to concede the election?
Trump will just call in the National Guard and arrest break up the riots. He'll just do it. He's not going to sit around and let it get out of control. He'll just stop the riots. He'll send the federal people in, you know?
Why has he stopped the riots already then?
Because he's not a dictator. He's asked for permission from the local...
Scorpio, look. It's giving the Democrats all the rope they could possibly need to hang themselves by showing they're not able to control. They're actually supporting the riots. They're committing forms of treason. He's now talking about cutting off funding to states that allow these kind of anarchists to survive. I think it's been an educational experience for the American public to see the vast difference between Trump as a man who respects the Constitution and the rule of law and the Democrats who do not. I think it's been quite brilliant. Think of it as a variation on Ali's rope-a-dope. I think it's had that effect.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point, Jim. And we're seeing just what a disaster this Marxist far-left ideology really is when it manifests into reality.
I agree completely. Yes, that's exactly right.
It depends how bad, just to answer your question more specifically, it depends how bad the riots actually are. If you can see what Trump's strategy is, you might have heard Trump say, "If you don't fix the problem, I'm going to come in and fix it." He's told that to Democratic mayors and governors. Okay, it's the same thing with the post-election riots. It depends. Remember, the riots, as bad as they are, you have to understand that riots can be a lot worse than what they are. Okay? Go look at the French Revolution or some other countries. Riots can get a heck of a lot worse than what they are now. If the riots are the way they are now, Trump is actually happy to just let the Democrats essentially show how bad they are, and which is one of the reasons why I think he's going to win the election. But if the riots get worse than what we've seen, then he will just go in and stop them. So that's what Trump does. He doesn't have a... You know, that's essentially what his strategy is. You have to understand what his strategy is.
Yeah, and I think he hasn't wanted to come across as overly authoritarian prior to the election. But I think once he's reelected, he's not going to have any constraints on putting down these ridiculous events for what they are. We got a call or two from 408 area. Please give us your name and state and join the conversation.
Wait, you don't recognize my number at this
Paul,
point?
Paul, okay. Paul, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
All right. Well, first let me lead off this discussion. I want to get right into the mask, but I want to preface what I say by I don't think minorities should be able to vote anyway. So having said that, I just want to mention to
Is this Walt, a real is this a real phone call or is this
a Yeah, no, it's a real phone call. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think the founding fathers had it right that, you know, white men with property. That's the way it started out. That's the way it should be now. So, but going to the mask real quickly.
Actually, you could, you know, you didn't have to be, depending on where, what state you were in, if you were a property owner and the head of the household, you could vote. Yeah. James Madison's grandmother could vote. She was not a man. She was white, but she was not a man. So the idea that they all wanted it, the founding fathers didn't want it to be just white men voting. That's completely not true. It's the way it was when, for the most part at the time, but that doesn't mean they just wanted it to be like that. So I'm not sure if you're trying to be racist or something.
Paul, you raised an historical question, and Rolf's quite an expert on American history, especially in relation to the Constitution. Go ahead.
A lot of black people were voting in the North, in the United States, in the early Republic, just so you know. And it did occur in the South, too, because in some places there were free black men, and they, if they owned property, they often were voting, too. Now, there weren't very many of them, but they... It did happen.
Okay, point taken. So moving on to the mask, this is not specifically aimed at you, Wolf, but it's something that you said about, okay, you mostly agree with what Giuseppe said, but being in a hospital, it's probably a good idea, being in a nursing home, so forth. So were you aware of the multiple studies that Jim Fetzer has published on his site, including one which actually showed they had done experiments with surgeons wearing masks versus not wearing masks. And not only were the outcomes not any different, but they actually found that in this one particular study that the outcomes were better when they didn't wear a mask. So
don't some medical people already wear masks? I mean, before this all started, I mean, I recall the dent people in the dentist's office wear masks, and that was before the COVID even started. Didn't they?
Well, there's a number of reasons that people could or should wear a mask. But first of all, it should always be voluntary. But second of all, there's never been a study that's shown that it actually does anything in terms of preventing the spread of so-called disease or germs or anything. And assuming, of course, the germs disease is spread in that way. In other words, the pathogens spread disease, and this has been cast into doubt many, many times.
What's your definition of voluntary? So let's say you work in a hospital have to wear a mask, and you say, I don't want to, and is it voluntary or not? Because if you can always quit your job. No one's forcing you to work at the hospital.
Well, I don't recommend quitting. I recommend getting fired. That's more of like a manly thing to do. So you tell your employer to pound salt.
What if you're a nurse, though? A lot of nurses are women.
Get fired. So that's what happened to me.
So they should get fired. Well, maybe there will be some that do, but you know, maybe nurses.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we got.
No, I don't work at the hospital, so, you know, I think we'll let them make.
Just listen for a second. I was making a point that's valid. Jim knows well the studies he posted on his own site, and there's multiple other studies that show this too. If you go to the Weston A. Price Foundation website, you read right now what they're saying about COVID, and they're saying the same thing that many others have already said, such as on the site whatreallymakesyouill.com, a book by that same name. The two authors have put it together. Took 10 years to put it together. And what they found was that the so-called germ theory of disease has been either debunked or disproved multiple times in history, in many cases so thoroughly that you would have thought it would never be resurrected again. But, of course, it was resurrected again. Giuseppe knows this well. I'm sure Scorpio does too. The Flexner Report, where basically the Rockefellers and the Carnegies bought the American medical establishment so that they could continue to peddle fear and to sell us drugs and other such things that we don't really need to be healthy. What the human body needs to be healthy is proper nutrition, sunshine, and fresh air. And this has been so well demonstrated so many times, I don't know how anybody could question it.
If,
but apparently people believe what the hell.
Can I ask you a question then? Have you went to your local hospital and presented these findings to your local hospital so they know about it? I mean, I don't really have anything to do with hospitals. You may want to call your local hospital and alert them that the germ theory of disease isn't true. Why don't you go to the hospital and tell them that? Why are you telling me? I'm not going to have any influence on the rules of the hospital.
I'm telling anybody who's listening on the call, Rolf, okay?
Oh, so you think that maybe the hospitals will be listening into this radio program?
What is your fixation with the local hospital, by the way? Nobody goes to the hospital.
They said that they have to wear masks at the hospital, and they believe in the germ theory of disease. You know, some diseases aren't caused by germs. That's true. Okay,
what did you say?
Not all diseases are caused by germs. So,
well, it depends on what you're defining as a germ. But in general, the germ theory of disease has been debunked. Check it out.
It has?
Like I said. What?
So, like a bacteria infection isn't true then, or what do you mean?
Correct. You ask a question, let me talk. Louis Pasteur has been revealed. Oh, my God. Now you say go ahead. I'm halfway in my sentence. Louis Pasteur.
Paul, just go ahead, Paul. Come on. Okay.
All right. Louis Pasteur supposedly on his deathbed confessed that he felt his whole life's work had been wasted because, as he said, and this is a very well-known quote, the germ is nothing. The terrain is everything. Pasteur was not the only person or the only man or the only researcher who failed to inoculate other people with the diseases that they thought bacteria caused. Over and over and over again, they were not able to do it. Okay, they were not able to replicate what they call phospholipids, which is...
Let's refer to Giuseppe here, who's in a good position to arbitrate this difference. Giuseppe, please offer your opinions here.
Well, guess after the break.
Right back with Giuseppe after the break. Stand by. We got a lively discussion going here. Rolf Lindgren being my featured guest, a dear friend of mine. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
You know, I'm actually happy this subject has come up because I've heard Paul talk about the germ theory being meaningless or false, whereas I've always thought the germ, the notion of germs, is very broad and encompassing and would include viruses, bacteria, and fungi. And no one, I think, is going to deny viruses, bacteria, and fungi are bona fide and real. So I'm glad that we're actually talking about it, because I was a bit puzzled by exactly what Paul meant. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, what Paul's referring to is the out-of-the-box thinking and reasoning of people like Dr. Stephen Lanka, a European, and Dr. Andrew Kaufman, who claim that because something called Koch's postulate, which is theorems to prove that a microbial exists, in this case the virus, and since no one's ever been able to prove that all four protocols are met so that viruses don't exist, it's more of a exercise in logic than it is in reality, because when Koch in the 1700s wrote his postulate, no one could see a virus, and now they're easily seen and identified by electron microscopes, and so the fact that they don't meet Koch's postulate isn't necessarily the key determinant. But what is interesting about their theory is that, as Rolf pointed out, if you take an antibiotic, you can heal a bacterial infection. The antibiotic doesn't heal the infection. The antibiotic kills enough bacteria for the individual patient's own immune system to get strong enough to take care of business and get back to a normal homeostasis state. Now, that's why when a lot of people are deadly ill, and they're dying of a bacterial infection, they can give them IVs with antibiotics and it won't help, because the patient's immune system is too weak to save the life.
Hold on, Paul, go ahead.
So the idea of what Dr. Kaufman and Dr. Lanka state is that the mainstream corporate intellectuals and also the scientists at universities and such, they don't understand viruses, because if they did, then vaccines would be effective, and no vaccine is really effective. No vaccine is really safe, and they have turned it into such an insane industry because they've been indemnified since 1986. If Rolf is a free market guy, if Reagan had been a free market man instead of listening to a young teeny tiny Tony the Rat Fauci and not given the vaccine industry indemnification and let them be sued out of business, what would have arisen from the ashes are companies that did have some form of safe product, some form of inoculant that would help patients. So right now, the entire vaccine industry is criminal, and it shouldn't exist. And hopefully at some point, someone, a president or some sane people in Congress will I take it back. It'll never happen. They're all cowards and control.
Just happy. Tell me a little about these Koch postulates. It sounds to me like a reduction.
Would you allow me, Giuseppe, to do that?
Yeah, go ahead. Paul's all learned about that.
So since he didn't articulate them, and again, I claim no expertise, but I do want to point something out. So Giuseppe just mentioned a couple of names, right, like Dr. Andrew Kaufman or Stefan Lanka. But listen, if you go and you take a look at whatreallymakesyouill.com, they wrote a book by that title, What Really Makes You Ill. What they'll reveal to you, I have not read the book. I plan to order it and read it. But I'm already down the road on this idea, and it's kind of like I'm at the point where I understand what I think I need to understand. But having said that, what these two authors revealed is when they looked into the history, when they looked into the research, what they found was astounding to them, that a lot of this knowledge was quite old and quite widespread at the time. So here are Koch's postulates in a nutshell, and they've been improved upon or they've been made more rigid by other people. But four things: you must isolate what it is you're claiming causes the disease, bacteria, virus, other sort of pathogen, isolate it. Two, you must concentrate it or cultivate it. Three, you must introduce it into a test subject. And four, it must produce the disease or the symptoms that you're attributing it to. Okay? So having those four in mind, there's actually been some more rigorous proposals that have made a long time in the past, by the way. One, you must always find this organism in a diseased person that you're attributing this disease to. So in other words, if somebody has the same disease that you're claiming is caused by this organism, but they don't have that organism, then how can you say that that's what causes the disease? And the other even more rigorous one is that you must not find it in people that are well. Okay. So it's a major hang out there. Viruses, bacteria, fungus exist in all of us. Our gut is filled with bacteria and virus and fungus. Most people would argue, and I think Mona, your friend Jim, would argue that funguses are by far more important in our overall health, and they're actually much more detrimental. But here's an interesting thing that I just came across, and I don't know if Giuseppe's heard this too, but it poses many interesting questions. One of the researchers that I was listening to on one of these videos pointed out that the bacteria, for example, that they can find in strep throat, well, some of the same bacteria exists in your gut. So is it really the cause of strep throat? And why, for example, don't all kinds of other people have a problem with strep throat when, for example, you might have it? And what are the bacteria, the Streptococcus bacteria, doing on that particular spot in your throat to begin with? And perhaps they are, in what has been suggested, healing agents. People have suggested that viruses, for the most part, are healing agents.
Okay.
The idea that viruses are endogenous to the body has been proposed before. Sophia Smallstorm said this on your show, Jim, endogenous to the body. What does that mean? Look it up. It means having an origin within, originating in the body.
Paul, that's all fine. I think that's all fascinating. You may be right about all of that. I'm interested in the politics right now of this, what's going on moving forward toward the election. Okay. So if you want to tie it in, then do that.
Okay, well, if somebody else wants to talk now, fine. I will tell you a brief letter you can write to your local county health officer, which I've done, to put them on the carpet and let them know what they're doing is unlawful, and you can follow up from there. So if you want me to do that now, I will.
I like that. I want to return to that. But right now, given I got Rolf here, I want to pursue these political issues more so. I mean, you made fascinating points.
I don't think that Trump is going to be able to remake modern medicine. However, I will tell you right now, and I do understand that the medical community gets corrupt and too big, and things like that. Well, Trump is the first person I've seen pushing back against it. You know, he's resisting the mask mandate. He got us out of WHO, didn't he? Withdraw from WHO, World Health Organization. He's out of that. He's constantly arguing with Fauci about different things. So at least he's pushing back to some extent on this stuff. You have to remember that Trump is fighting a lot of battles at once. So I think he's done a good job challenging the so-called experts, who sometimes I wonder how expert they are. We've seen lots of different contradictions. You know, earlier they said the masks didn't work, and now they say the masks do work. Did you see the CDC just put out some airborne virus transmission information a couple days ago, and then they took it off their website? No, we put it on by accident, you know. But so I understand that there's a lot of issues. I don't know if I go buy some of your stuff, but I do see that there are I see some resistance from Trump on certain things, and I do not support mandates on vaccines. I do not support mandates. However, if a private company has a hospital and they want to require vaccines, they may or may not require them. They may not require them because, remember, vaccines don't really work very well for viruses anyway, you know.
They don't work for
They mutate. Well, they do work. They do work for bacteria. So
they do not work for anything.
They don't work for anything. So that's why
no vaccine has ever been.
What about the smallpox attack of 1721?
Okay, you need to do.
That was a complete farce, Rolf. Rolf, that was a complete farce. Edward Jenner claimed that he saw the cowpox as a reason to create a vaccine. He produced a vaccine, gave it to both his son and his stepson multiple times, killed them both. So that's a complete apocryphal tale.
Science has improved in the last 200 years. You think that medical science?
The smallpox vaccine is a complete fraud. Smallpox is an episodic vaccine. It comes back and they rename it as a monkeypox.
What
you're saying is complete bullshit.
Hang on. I don't want to get deeply into an issue.
Smallpox is pretty much eradicated anyway. How many people have you ever met that got smallpox?
I don't want to get into this vaccine stuff right now. I understand how important it is. I want to stay at the political level. I want to talk about the Supreme Court. I want to talk about what the Democrats are doing to defeat themselves. Scorpio, come back in. Scorpio.
Okay, well, you mentioned the Supreme Court. I am just amazed at what a disgusting creature Ruth Bader Ginsburg was, how she supported NAMBLA as well as her husband. And we're seeing this mythology built up around her that she was some kind of a saint and just the most wonderful person ever. And we're really seeing how mythology is made. We're seeing it being created before our eyes right now.
I think that's great. I'm really glad you brought this up. So she was another one of these perverts. I mean, she was promoting perversion. We know why Barack Obama and Michelle Obama promote the film Cuties. They're perverts who want to turn perversion into normalcy so they'll be normal and won't be outliers. They're not going to be successful, I hope to God, but they're making a big effort. It's interesting you raise this issue that even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, whom they all lionize as like one of the greatest justices of the Supreme Court in history, could have promoted sex between adults and children. That's pretty disgusting, Scorpio.
Yeah, and her husband did too. He was actually helped NAMBLA out, working for them on some capacity as a lawyer.
God!
Yeah, I want to bring something up with Ginsburg. You know, you have to remember that Ginsburg wasn't even very well known until about 2 or 3 years ago because they made a movie about her. I saw polls from four or five years ago where her name recognition was below 20%. And I don't remember the exact number, but it was probably around 10%. Very few people really knew who she was until this movie came out, the notorious RBG or something, who came up with that idea. I think they probably came. I wouldn't be surprised if that movie was made because they knew that it would maybe they think it would be harder to replace her right now. I mean, maybe that movie was planned, because Ruth Bader Ginsburg is essentially a selfish individual. If she really cared so much about liberal values, she should have retired a long time ago when President Obama was still in office and when the Senate was controlled by Democrats. Remember, the Senate was up to 60 Democrats at one time when Obama was president. She could have retired. She already had cancer since like 2009. She was already close to 80 years old at that time, but she decided to stay in office.
Rolf, that's actually a really good point. She should have retired. I mean, that would have been the better strategy if she was, yeah, you know, Obama such a wonderful team player. Yes. And, you know, she actually admitted that she used the Talmud as her guiding light to make decisions. It's incredible.
How disgusting is that? God, that's horrible.
Well, I mean, if she read the Talmud, that I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if she said that, you know, I don't know what she said. Who was the judge, though, that said something about not using the Constitution to lead the world? I mean, that must have been a different judge that said that. It's hard to remember which one of the judges said
that. You know,
that.
Not to use the Constitution. The salient point Rolf made and all that it was the fact that, say, 20% or so, you know, only knew who she was. And it just goes overall to the theater aspect. The Supreme Court has very little, if any, effect on any average day, average everyday person's life. You know, making decisions about a lot of things, that, in my opinion, don't really need to, you know, have decided. I mean, you take a look at this recent district court ruling in Pennsylvania where the judge took 66, I read most of it, not all of it, took 66 pages to tell us that, yeah, the Constitution, you know, the part about life, liberty, or property, with that due process of law, that actually still matters. Like, we needed a guy in a robe to tell us that. I mean, the idea that the governor or the health director of a state has any authority at all to issue orders, which they don't because they're not lawmakers. So this is the problem. It's the average American's understanding and perception of the governmental functions of the three co-equal branches with supposed checks and balances. And what's going on out there is the biggest farce and the biggest fraud of government. We don't have to get into the medical fraud. That's the basis of it. But it's a fraud that the governor has any authority to issue orders. He can only order his own staff to do things, government employees. Okay, this is an absolutely fact of the way that the structure is set up. People don't understand this. A health director, a county health director, has no authority to issue orders. And if people just understood these basic facts, we'd be in a lot better shape.
In our state, I don't know what state you're in, Wisconsin, we have a law that specifically says the governor can call for an emergency, but he only has 60 days. And then after that, the legislature has to approve the emergency, which has not happened. We're past 60 days by many days now. And how many people even know about these laws? I mean, if you want to talk about the roots of America, in the 1800s, every educated person read the Constitution, they read the Federalist Papers, they read the Bill of Rights, they read classic texts like, you know, the autobiography of Ben Franklin and the Declaration of Independence and Thomas Paine, you know, the Crisis Papers and the Common Sense.
Well,
people used to read
it,
this stuff.
It may have been in the curriculum. That doesn't mean they read it.
They read
Paul's
George.
Paul's making a different point, Paul.
I'm talking about the 1800s. The educated people read this stuff. They read the Farewell Address of George Washington. They read classic novels like The Last of the Mohicans. They read classic short stories by Washington Irving like Rip Van Winkle. They read the full text of the national anthem. So they had this concept of what America was about, including the basic ideas of the function of government. And nowadays people don't even read the Federalist Papers in law school anymore.
I know,
let alone in political science class.
Your point, you mentioned about the 60-day thing. I don't know what it is in California. I believe it's 30 days. But here's the thing: is no order can operate outside of established law. And no order can violate the Constitution. People probably don't know that. And that's pretty simple. You don't need
you mean
to
no law, no law, no, Paul, you mean no lawful order. No lawful
people
order.
Like put,
they're issuing all these unconstitutional orders, Paul. Their orders are just not constitutional or legal.
But the thing is, order, okay, a lot of people love to put the word lawful in front of an order. It doesn't change the fact that a governor has no lawmaking ability. So in other words, his order, he can order pizza. I've been telling people this, okay? And it's an absolute fact. You know, you look into this, everything they're doing is what's known as
simulation of legal process. It's fraudulent. That's one of the things that this lawsuit in Ohio is going to be based upon.
I like that, Paul. I think that's a very important point.
Well, we have to remember that each state has their own constitution. And like in Wisconsin, we have a really, really long constitution. It's very hard to read. And, you know, the federal constitution is only 4 pages long, and then there's 3 pages of amendments, and one of the pages mm-hmm. being the Bill of Rights. The state constitutions are so long that, you know, how many people have read them? There's stuff in there.
Every state constitution is going to have a clause. California is no exception. Basically, it has a supremacy clause, which actually defers to the federal constitution. So the federal constitution, the U.S. or the national, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people call it the American constitution. It is the supreme law of the land, and it's been held so many, many, many times, tons of decisions. And I highly recommend a site you go to. It's called peopleoftheamericanconstitution.org. You can go and get lots of good information from that site also.
Well, I just wanted to touch upon something Rolf said. You know, there's no question that people were better educated in the 1700s and 1800s in the school systems. And, you know, of course, this is deliberate, but Rolf was absolutely right. I came across a textbook from the late 1800s for, you know, 7th and 8th grade, you know, students, and it was pretty advanced. It had the classics. It had philosophy and mythology in it too, and mathematics, very advanced compared to today's schools.
Right.
Yeah,
no, good point.
Dumbing down. Go ahead, Rolf.
Yeah. Well, that's it's people. The education system. You know, I guess I'm not an expert on the history of the education system, but I do know that up until 1953, we didn't have a Department of Education. And it wasn't until really till the 1960s under Lyndon Johnson that the Department of Education had any real power. There was virtually no power until, which is really within our lifetimes. And so I don't know what the public schools were like in the 50s. I'm thinking they were a lot better even in the 1950s than they are now. The public schools are pretty bad right now.
We're getting close to the end. I would like everyone to have an opportunity for a couple of final words. Paul, why don't you go first?
Well, I think I had plenty of time. Thanks for that opportunity, but I cede the floor to whoever's next.
Scorpio, go ahead.
Well, I would just like to make my closing thought that I think we're living through the biggest hoax of our lifetimes. This dwarfs 9/11 for its impact both psychologically, physically, and spiritually. And I just hope the general public wakes up as to what's happening, because they're planning on completely re-engineering society with this COVID hoax.
Yeah. Elaborate just a bit more on that before we have to part. Just what are you seeing as the outline of the new world? If not the new world order, all digital currency, I presume, is one element thereof.
Oh, sure. And they're going to, you know, they're just making people afraid to interact with one another. And, you know, the World Economic Forum is starting to release some details about what this new system is going to look like. Because, you know, and it's all based on, you know, COVID, what COVID did to us. So I think it's really going to come down to whether or not people just accept all of this without question. I think that's we're at a big turning point here right now.
Well, I think this underlines the importance of Trump's reelection, because I don't think he's going to put up with any of this shit. That's my opinion. He's not going to go for it. Giuseppe, your final thoughts.
I think Scorpio is exactly right as this demonic, diabolical Great Reset. I mean, you're trying to destroy the status quo and create a bipolar economic system over a virus with a 99.76 survival rate, and that when you factor in comorbidity, which is people already were dying of heart failure, dying of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Almost nobody's dying from this. And yet this is their excuse to create these draconian New World Order, not just baby steps, but giant steps, and it just has to be stopped. And I mean, you're absolutely right. I'm not a big fan of Trump, but the Democratic Party has become the communist Jew George Soros's golem, and so Trump has to win to have some chance of beating this back.
Rolf, I'm so pleased to have you here today. It's been simply terrific. I want to give you
my final statement is that the plandemic ended on September 18th. Now the Supreme Court is the number one news story. The virus is no longer the number one news story. And by the time they recover, the election is going to be over and Trump's going to be reelected. Trump already won the election.
I think so, too. I think that's exactly right. Exactly right. Mitchell, you got a chance here to squeeze a couple words in at the end. Well,
Jim, as a Marine Corps veteran, I got a set of words for you. Should put it out. Dog and pony show. Nothing but that, you know, it's the political season and you really it's going to be hard to get through the facts without having everything weaponized and including the language. So the facts are going to be scarce. The rhetoric's going to be high. A good dog and pony show.
I really like the quality of our discussion. I thought it was simply excellent. And I'm really pleased Rolf was here on this particular day. The timing was impeccable, it turned out. I thought you guys all did a great job. And I'm just really pleased to be back with you on Revolution Radio and doing 2 days a week. I'm real happy with it. And Mitchell, I can't thank you enough for producing for me. Day after day after day. You're wonderful. You're so reliable, and you contribute a lot of intellectual content to boot. Thank you all for being here. Thank you all for listening. Thanks, special guest Rolf. Thanks to Scorpio. Thanks to Paul. Thanks to Giuseppe. And once again, thanks to Mitchell. Glad you could be here. Talk to you again.
Listening to Revolution.